Turuntuset tulee Joonael.
And our main topic today is about service export. And to introduce the topic, I would say that there is increasing amount of companies that enter service businesses. And many of them are looking for opportunities also to export the services. We here, both in Estonia and also in the marketing radio, have talked a lot about how to export different products, but much less about how to export services. And that's why, Jay, my first question is, can you explain what is the main difference in exporting services and exporting products?
Okay. What I will try to do is to, in spite of the fact that, you know, service is a growing as well as a new discipline, there are a lot of things that is not aware to many, many people unless they have studied service. So I'll try to make it as simple as possible, but please bear it in mind, some of the things might appear as if, you know, it's not understandable. And if there is, you know, just check, you know, ask me and I'm happy to explain more.
Okay, we'll do that.
Or else refer you to some books or articles, and I could do that as well. So as we could understand, service is been, although service has been there for centuries in one form or another, service as a discipline or service as an industry has started growing relatively in the last few years only. I would say probably 20 to 30 years maximum, where the growth of the service. And today it has come to an extent that almost all developed countries and almost all developing countries are in fact, the service growth is much more than the product growth. Now the question is, why is that? There are multiple reasons, of course, you know, but one of the fundamental reason behind the growth of the service is the creation of technology or the, you know, incorporation of technology in almost everything. So in the past, we had basic products, whether it is typewriter, whether it is, you know, bicycles, so simple things like that. And we were able to mend it, or we were able to repair those bicycles and typewriters without any problem. Nobody, we don't need anybody's help. You know, if typewriter doesn't work, the only thing which has gone wrong is the typewriter ribbon has gone dry. Today, we don't use typewriters, we use computers. So let's think about it. How many computer companies are there in the world? Let's say roughly there are maximum 15 or 20. I don't think so, maybe about 10. But think about it, how many service providing companies are there to support those computer companies? Maybe a million or maybe a billion. Maybe a million in each country. So for when technology enhances any product, that product requires many, many, many types of services so that the customer will be able to use it without problems. You know, problems will always happen, whether it doesn't work, whether it needs some support, it needs upgrading, whatever that is. I'm not referring to just computers. All things, whether they are washing machines, whether they are cars, whether they are, or, you know, air conditioners or heaters or whatever they are, we are all using them, but we don't know how to correct them or to mend it. So we need somebody to help us. So service in almost every product area is growing faster than the product itself. So if I invent a product and create a product, let's take an example of iPad. So if one iPad is coming out, there are hundreds and hundreds of companies who are supporting the people who are using iPads, whether they are selling it, whether they are selling the parts for it, they're selling the apps for it, whatever they are. So I am not saying that there are no products being created, but as and when new products are created, hundreds and thousands of services are being created or invented. So the job of a service marketer, service producer, is to innovatively think as to what kinds of support customers require for these kind of products, and can I give it better than anybody else? So when iPhones came up, or iPads came up, you know, apps wasn't there. Apps were created, or just like when computers came in, the things which are useful for us, which we are at the moment using, Skype wasn't there. So the Skype allowed people who has got a computer anywhere in the world to communicate better than before, rather than using telephones. So somebody cleverly from Estonia came up with this great idea. And that became the hit for the entire world. So service marketers and managers or service innovators constantly have to look for how to make customers' life easier, how to make customers' life without problems. So unlike in product industry, I can just sell something and don't have to worry about it. But when you sell services, whatever that is, whether it's a hotel, whether it is any kind of computer services or any kind of healthcare services or financial services, insurance company, whatever that is, you need a constant relationship with the customer.
Absolutely. There are
24 hours, 365 days.
I wanted to ask, if you now add to the kind of complexity of the service world, and if you now add also the complexity of export world, you add them together, what are the main challenges for companies, what they are facing?
I would say probably there are two or three fundamental ones. Okay, the fundamental ones are the know-how. First one is the know-how. That means I should have a higher know-how than my customers. Otherwise, I don't have a chance. And the second one is communication. I should be able to communicate in the way that the others can understand. So that means now I am able to, whether it is if I'm providing a service to somebody in France, I need to make sure that there is somebody in my organization who can, in French, communicate with that French company or French person. And probably the other one, probably the one of the most important one, is to constantly being able to innovate. The fact that you innovated something yesterday doesn't mean anything today. I'm already outdated because 100 other people have copied me.
And created.
Yeah. The problem is not people copying. The problem is that people copying and making it better than the original. So I have no choice, no chance. So what did Japanese do? Japanese copied the German cars, the British cars, the American cars, and made it better than the German cars, the American cars, and British cars. More or less.
Absolutely. No. Can you tell me in a nutshell, what are the main trends? What is happening in the service export currently? Okay, one of the things you already mentioned is that it's about innovation. You have to innovate. You have to be innovative in your target market also, not in your home market only. But what else do you see?
See, there is an unfortunate belief in us. Innovation rests with technology. It isn't. It is not. Innovation, yes, you know, some of the innovations could be technology related. Innovation means thinking for the customer. If I cannot think for the customer, if the customer cared nothing about us, if that product or service is not useful for the customer, innovation is the customer accepting that I am thinking for them. So when somebody created Google, when somebody created Skype, or when somebody created app, they understood that they created something thinking for me, meaning I can use it for my advantage, for my benefit. So always thinking for the customer has been the fundamental basis, the difference between customer, the service companies and product companies. Service companies think, what can I make the customer believe that this value is superior compared to any other value that anybody can get anywhere else? And that difference is fundamental. So thinking for the customer, not thinking like the customer, thinking for the customer. You create something for the customer, and therefore the customer will never leave you. And that's what, you know, Steve Jobs did, creating a smartphone when we didn't ask for it. And today what we did was throw away all the perfectly working cell phones and bought the smartphone 5 times more expensive.
Yeah.
And we don't have no problem with the money. So today, money is an unimportant issue. Very, very rarely. Even you go to China, even you go to India, Brazil, wherever, you know, the poorest countries, and you can see people walking around not with one, maybe two smartphones in their hands. So when people find a value higher than whatever that have been they have been receiving, they immediately latch on it. Okay, so so the models of examples of export are all the places, countries that you can think of. When you think of good examples of service company, service countries, Hong Kong dominated the world for a long while for insurance, banking, finance, all kinds of financial services. Britain before that was the place where almost everything financial institution was. Then became Dubai. Then Singapore, India became another one for technology related services, and all those things have got some reason behind it. When we can't just become an expert when we don't have the expertise, not just in one, but a group of people following us. So it is not enough that I am an expert. I should have all my people behind me, meaning I could constantly get people, either my kids or the neighbors or my somebody within my country who can follow my footsteps or who can use my knowledge to progress it further. So the country has to take up the responsibility or take up that idea forward. Apparently it has been known that India has got more engineers than the whole of world put together. So naturally, when you have a know-how, and it is not the cheapness of the labor force, but the extent of the labor force in terms of knowledge.
Do you have any good examples out of this technology sector, from traditional sectors also?
Yeah, let's take an example of United States. Okay, Disney could be one example, Michael Jackson could be another example. And apparently, Michael Jackson used to be single one biggest exporter of services from America. His songs were heard around the world, and almost every youngster used to buy his CDs or tapes. So almost all those things are possible when the whole country goes along with it. And Disney is another example, although the company is big. But the whole idea of able to sell service to the rest of the world, and all of them, whether you call them CNN, whether you call them IKEA, whether you call them, don't get me wrong, IKEA is not a furniture company. IKEA is a service company. Whether you call them Dell, whether you call them eBay, whether you call them Amazon, they're all service companies who created or even Federal Express. All these are service companies who created, for instance, the Federal Express. They didn't create a company. They created an industry. That industry, overnight delivery of courier, didn't exist before them. And the whole world, you can find courier companies. And so also in many, many other, whether they are hotels or restaurants, you know, simple ideas of ice cream, simple ideas of restaurant. Think about when you say Starbucks, it is a multinational, multi-billion dollar conglomerate. Who would have thought a cafe would have that kind of status? And nobody even would think about a company which really today is a company which every employee dreamed to be in there because they provide healthcare, particularly in the United States, of course, you know, where healthcare is so expensive. They provide free healthcare. Not only that, free education. Think about it. If I work for Starbucks, I get free education. I can study whatever. You also know that education is one of the most expensive things in America. So you can think about, that's what I was saying, you know, when you talk about service and when you talk about innovation, they are not confined to technology. But unfortunately, most people tend to think that way. And my undergraduate degree is in hotel management. You know, I worked many years in the hotel industry. So I know that very, very well. So almost every kind of industry has to think they are in service industry. Otherwise, they are doomed. Because we cannot create a product and say that is so unique, nobody else in the world will have it. Whether they are log homes, whether they are furniture, whether they are air conditioner, whatever they are. Customers don't care.
I wanted to ask also that IKEA is well known for Estonians for being a good furniture company, not a service company.
A producer or a production company.
Or a retailer or producer. Uh-huh. What do you mean by telling that they are, first of all, service company, not the producers?
Okay. If you think that IKEA is competing using furniture, IKEA will sit there and cry.
Okay.
Yeah, really. Because they know the reason why people literally fall in love with them is not because of their product, because how they have created the service to go along with the product, which we love, whether it's a design, whether it is. So what I am saying is that service is such a huge topic area. It is not the service that we think about what we get in a restaurant or in a hotel. Service is all about making the customer feel comfortable and not having to worry nothing. Whether it is the design of the room, whether it is the ability to park in a place where I know that I will not get hit, or whatever that is. Everything what a company think about a customer is what is called service. Whatever a customer feel that company is valuable, and if I use that doctor, or if I use that hospital, or if I use that school, or whatever it is, I don't need to worry about it. And that is what IKEA, if you walk into IKEA store and walk out and walk into another retail store and walk out, you will see fundamental difference. There is no comparison. They have thought about everything that you need, from wrapping paper to sticky tapes to anything. They have thought about all those things and put it there. You might probably say that IKEA can do it because they are rich. IKEA did it, and because of that, they became rich. And that is, you know, think about another company. Okay, you might again say, oh, that's not a service company. It's the Lego.
Yeah, that's true. We do believe that it's a product company, so...
If we believe Lego is a product, again, Lego will sit and cry. So also many, many other companies. You know, so the service managers and marketers have to really think outside the box of the old paradigm of the four P's of marketing. And that history now, I can't sell it to my customer because I have a great product, because there are 101 other companies producing exactly or probably better product than me. But if their product, if their services are not as good as mine, they will come back to me. They will use me because I convince them that I will never put them down. I will never, ever not let them receive my product in the best way possible. That means, you know, I will support them all the way through.
Is the Coca-Cola service company also?
To some extent, yes. To some extent, yes. Because it have made so many, in spite of the fact I never use Coca-Cola, I always jokingly say many things about Coca-Cola, but I am saying that Coke makes people to believe that Coke allows them to be what they are, they want to be, to be energetic, to be young, to have all the strength that Coke says that it will give if you drink Coke every day, throughout the day.
As much as I understand of this service idea or how we are telling it today to our listeners, yeah, is actually that if you have a product in your mind and or you have a ready product already, so the service is something that you are doing to guarantee or to control all the way of moving your product from your factory to the home of your client in a way that brings client back, something like this, or.
Yes, I think you got a majority of it. And the probably another component is that not only just to reaching your home, but for the rest, you should always think that customer want to feel at least that this product will last me a fair amount of time. And, you know, so that means if somebody is going to help me if something were to go wrong. So if I buy a washing machine, is it going to work at least for me for 3 years? So if until 3 years, will I have to, if something happens, will I have to get somebody else to correct, you know, amend it or whatever it is? So the more you convince them that you are constantly there to support them, you know, although Toyota was not the best car company for a long while, or even now for that matter, but their services are so superior. Unlimited warranty for as long as you want to drive. If something happens, bring it over to us. So people started thinking, there must be something not right. Either they are fools, or their product is very, very good. So customers started, you know, recognizing the fact that their products are good. So the you know, in what you said is the guarantee. I'm not referring only to the idea of guarantee. What I am saying is that when the customer believes us, that he's not trying to sell it, there's a company, there are many, many companies that we can take examples from. But you know, there are some companies who go out of the way to convince people that they are unique. That convincing is convincing the customers in terms of their trust in them, that they can go back to them. They will support you. I'm sure many, many companies do it. My friend David Solnit, who is with me here, from Australia, he is saying that he trusts in the Apple products because the support is unmatched, any day, anytime, anywhere, more or less. So that kind of trust, the same way I use Dell. And, you know, I have live chat. The minute I want something, immediately there is somebody talking to me, exactly telling me why I should buy it or shouldn't buy it. They will tell me sometimes. I even know that they told me, one of them told me, Jay, don't buy it now. Our next product is coming next month. That's in a week's time. And that is much better than the one that you're going to buy now. So they even told me not to buy. Think about it. So how much trust do you think that I'm going to get from them? 100%.
I just want to ask, I was listening to you and to Raoul's comments and and trying to ask, I remember when I was studying services and service management, then we clearly talked about the services, it's the intangible part and how they're different, how different is the service management. But can you tell me, when did the kind of service industry changed from being just services that are different from products into a complete philosophy of answering customer needs that we usually used to call marketing? So I start to wonder what is then marketing about?
Yeah. I don't know whether there is a starting point or ending point. I know. I would say the ideas have been constantly changing because of the change in the marketplace. That's more. Both the customers have changed, our competition have changed. So we can't do what we have been doing successfully 20 years ago. Our customers are very, very different today compared to 10 or 15 years ago. So we have to find a way to in fact, you know, there's, and you might probably know the famous person who's Popcorn, and a Popcorn Report, most of the marketing people would know. Faith Popcorn was a marketing consultant who used to write the Popcorn Report every year. And she would predict what is going to happen next year to many, many companies and many product and services. And Faith Popcorn wrote this once, and she said, if your customer have to tell you what do you need to create, then you are behind them. So we can't depend on market research. We can use them to some extent to kind of give us some guidance in terms of, you know, to see or understand what the customers, you know, changing habits are, or what they're doing at the moment, you know, what kinds of things they use and things like that. But our products cannot be created by, you know, Steve Jobs didn't get the idea from customers, nor any other, when Starbucks created Starbucks, it didn't come from customers either. Of course, customers used it. So to answer your question, I don't know, but I think what has happened over the years is that both industry and academicians have realized that the world is changing exponentially fast. I teach in China every year, And each time, every year I go there, it's a different China I am seeing. In whatever way, every single way. Okay. So, and I am, you know, so I am saying that when the world is changing, unfortunately, or fortunately, I would say, Western world is changing much slower than developing world. And that has got a reason, because we have most of the things that many, many developing countries never had, and therefore they have to catch up. You know, they are, you know, for instance, my mother in India never saw a black and white television. And the first telephone was a cordless telephone. So innovation there are probably much easier than what we think here. And also the other reason, you know, is when you're in a very difficult position, you innovate much more because you're pushed, you're kind of pressed to do that. Rather than, you know, my company is doing very well, so I'm still sitting in my easy chair. So unless somebody else really comes next door to me and really takes off all my customers, then I don't think about it. But, you know, most of the smaller companies, and I think a good example would be IBM. Until Dell came up, IBM was nowhere and was doing everything what they just wanted to do, nothing for customers. And think about, you know, all the other, you know, kind of companies also. Think of, you know, what, you know, the country as Ireland did. You know, Ireland realized that they cannot become a manufacturing, base. And they knew that service was the only option for them in such a small country. And they utilized it, and they knew that every person, just like in Estonia, I know, you know, an educated person goes to Finland or Sweden or somewhere. All the you know, Irish people immigrated to every country possible, and it came to a level when Ireland really put the effort into it, when the whole country put the effort into it. Thousands and thousands of Irish people started immigrating back to Ireland. And that's what I would like to see in Estonia. When Estonia, really the entire government believes and trusts that you can become a powerhouse in Europe in terms of your location. You know, you are in Europe, you're an EU country, you're close to Scandinavia and all other countries. You know, just like, you know, if Luxembourg can become a tax-free zone for every company to go and register, why not Estonia?
Anna, we have a good question that we ask always.
Yeah, our favorite topic usually, yeah, with most of our guests is that as Estonia is well known in Europe for producing wooden houses or log houses, then the question is that what do you think that if you take an average Estonian wooden houses or log houses producer, that for instance exports most of the houses to Sweden? And then the question is, they are listening to the show and they want to know, okay, what should we do? How should we use services in our business? What would you suggest them?
Yeah, because, you know, service is that is most expensive and most unreliable throughout the world. Whatever we may say, there are thousands of companies and thousands of countries, you know, providing services. But reliable service is a challenge, you know, and that's why we pick one best friend or few best friends. Not everyone is a friend. Not everyone is a best friend. They're all friends. Reliable service is very, very important. So we have to find a way that we create an environment where you will be known for that reliable service which go along with your log homes. And not for today, for a long time. And once customers realize that, once, you know, people will talk, almost every company say that their biggest asset is word of mouth. But when we ask the managers how they create the word of mouth, they've got no idea. So we need to think about, you know, if log homes are a great thing, you have a lot of wood, and you have that expertise, and you know Europe is looking for ways to connect, and countries like Germany and Scandinavia are ideal locations for your log homes. So what can go with it, and how long can you support them? And you know, if the other companies don't support them, you have to support them forever, more or less. I'll tell you a good example. Boeing realized that they make more, or they can make more money by servicing airplanes than selling airplanes, because they can sell only X number of airplanes a year. But they can service for 40 or 50 or even 60 years those airplanes. So what I am trying to say is that selling a log home should not be the idea of the log homes manufacturers, but servicing the log home for the rest of the life of that home should be the idea.
Very good. And I think that it will help them also not to only service only the houses they have produced. But yep. In the ideal world, they could give the good service for any other log home, as they know the kind of the how they should have been built and how to service them. So I yes. think it's a very good
one of the best.
Yeah,
we have
very
heard.
Good, very good solution for that.
Well, thank you.